Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the Mishnah that you find on the upper part of Daf Chof. Chomer be'erichin mi b'nedarim ketzad. In light of our previous Mishnah, which mentioned a chomer be'nedarim over erichin, here we have a chomer astringency that you find by erichin, which you don't find by nedarim. Ketzad, how is that? Ha'omer erki olai, umeis, if a person said he wants to give his erech value, that's the Torah-based value, and he then dies before having paid it, yitnu hayorshim, the heirs pay that. It is a fixed amount, it's a known amount, how much the person's erech was when he articulated it. Therefore, a debt is created as soon as he speaks, and in the event that he dies, so his heirs have to pay that debt. Domi alai umes, if a person indicated he wants to donate his market value to the Beis HaMikdash and died before paying it, lo yitnu hayorshim, the heirs are not expected to pay that. Shein domim lemesim, a dead person doesn't have a market value. Rashi points out that when a person vows domi olai, the amount isn't established until he is evaluated by Beis Din. And in this case, he didn't come to that. He died before that. Therefore, he doesn't have a market value at now that he is dead. Erech yodi ve'erech ragli olai, if a person said that he wants to give the erech of a limb, his arm or his leg, lo omar klum, that has no value, it has no bearing, it doesn't take hold. There is no obligation for him because limbs don't have an erech. A person has an erech. However, if a person says erech roshi ve'erech kvedi olai, he wants to give the value of his head or of his liver, these are vital organs, noisein erech kulo, then he has to give his Torah value. Ze haklal, the following is the rule. And you'll notice this house marking is used and is explained on the outside margin under our mivneh heading, ze haklal, klolim, rules, be'inyin ever shanashama tluyo bo. Rules concerning limbs that are, or vital organs, be'inyin erichin v'domim, in the context of an erich donation and a domim. Domim, as opposed to erich, domim is a market value donation. Continuing in the Mishnah, ze haklal, dover shanashama tluyo bo, when a person makes an erich vow, and he cites he wants to give the erech of a vital organ, noisein erech kulo, then the person is expected to give his entire erech value. And as we've learned already many times in this Maseches, that is based on gender and age. Chatzi erki olai, if a person vowed to give chatzi erki, half his erech value. Now, an erech value, as we just mentioned, is predetermined by the Torah based on gender and age. Now, he wants to give half of that. Let's say you're talking about a 25-year-old male. So his Torah value, his Torah erech, is 50 shekel. If he says chatzi erech olai, he'll give 25 shekel. However, if he says erech chatzi olai, I want to give the erech of half of me, noisein erech kulo. If you stop to think about it, half of a person is basically no less than a vital organ. It's half of the body, half of the individual. So if he says he wants to give the erech of his half, of the half of his body, then he has to give the full erech, as we saw in the rule just before. Chatzi domi olai, a person once dedicates half of his market value, so no sin chatzi domov, whatever his market value is, you split it in half, and that's what he's obligated. Demei chatzi olai, if he wants to give the value of half of his of himself. So the how much, what is the market value of half of himself? Then we say deme kulo, because of the vital organ consideration. Ze haklal, davar shaneshama tluya bo, an organ that is of a vital nature, without which a person could not live, and he wants to give, he says he wants to give half of that vital organ, or in this case, half of himself. No saint de me kulo. He's automatically obligated to give his entire market value. Being that a person could not live without it, it's considered the entire person. Ho'imer erkoi shoploni olai. If a person wants to, he vows to give the erich of so-and-so. Meis hanoder v'hanidar. If the vower and the subject die, yitnu hayorshim, the heirs of the vower are obligated to pay. Once again, as we mentioned earlier, the erech of so and so is known at the very outset. So a debt is achieved at the very enunciation of such a vow. Domov shelploni olai, if the a person vowed to give the value of so and so. Mace hanoder, if the vower dies. Now the subject is still alive, so the subject could be evaluated. Therefore, yitnu hayorshim, the heirs of the vower will have to pay that vow. Mace hanidar, if the subject dies, lo yitnu hayorshim, then no money is paid by the heirs. Shein domim lemesim, there is no value assigned to a dead person, and in this case, the subject of the vow died. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, a structural note that we are drawn to in the outside margin. You notice the Nosei Mivne heading, and a double underline with dots appears. We will be highlighting here two opposite situations. We'll have Chomer B'Nedarim Mi Be'erichin and Chomer Be'erichin Mi B'Nedarim. The Tanaic source begins, Tanu Rabbanan, Chomer B'Nedarim Mi Be'erichin, a stringency in with regard to a neder vow, as opposed to an erich vow, Shanedarim Cholim Al Behemo Chaya V'Oif, a neder type vow is binding upon, in other words, if someone dedicates a market value of an animal, whether it be domesticated or Chaya undomesticated, or oaf, a bird, that is binding. Such a vow is binding. V'ein nidoinen behesig yad, and there is no consideration made for income level. In other words, the person who vows, even if he's impoverished, he incurs a full value of animal or bird obligation. Masha'en kein be'erichin. This is not the case by erichin. In other words, erichin, there's no erich assigned to animals. Erech is a Torah-based vow. The Torah speaks only about human beings, not animals. And likewise, with regard to Erechin, there is a hesegyad, an income consideration, affordability consideration. Chomer ve'erechin min nedarim, the realm of Erech vows is more stringent than Nedarim-type vows, market value vows. Ketzad, Omar, Erki Olai, Umeis, if a person said Erki Olai, and he then died, Yitnu Hayorshim, the heirs are obligated to pay that. Because, as we've explained earlier, the Erech is known as a set amount, and became an obligation as soon as the person articulated it. Domi Olai Umeis, if a person wanted to give his market value, and then died before paying it, and before being evaluated, Lo yitnu yorshim she'ein domim lemesim. The heirs are not obligated because there is no market, there's no value assigned to a dead person. Here we have a quote from just that which we saw a few lines up. There are little arrows to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, making it easier to find where this comes from. Omar erki olai umeis yitnu yorshim. If a person dedicated his erech value and died before paying it, the heirs have to pay. We have a geometric form in the Gemara that's explained in the outside margin. The term Shma Mino is highlighted with this trapezoid form. And we've written this is Shema Mino in quotation marks. That's the form that's used, the shape that's used. Nisyonos lahasik. These are attempts to achieve a final understanding. Lahasik maskonos b'shnei sugyos. There are two topics that are debated elsewhere in the Shas, and we can call them big questions, major issues. We want to use this Tanaic source as an attempt to conclude those major issues that are discussed elsewhere, and they are one, Aleph, Milva Alpeh, and that means what? How do we relate to a non-written loan agreement? And the strength that one has to collect verbal loans, or we'll call oral loans, non-written, and milveh haksuva b'torah. Milveh haksuva b'torah is an expression we've learned on previous occasions. This has to do with a Torah-recorded debt. In other words, there are certain things, certain amounts of money that a person has to pay based on the fact that a pasuk indicates that he has to pay it. That's called a milveh haksuva b'torah. And we will try to draw conclusions regarding that as well. So the Gemara asks, Shamas Mino, should we conclude from that which we've learned when a person says Erki Olai, and then he dies, and we see the heirs have to pay it, Milval Pe Goivim Min Hayorshim, that an oral loan can be collected from heirs. In other words, if you had a borrower of money, and the lender. Had loan money to a man that before he had a chance to collect from the borrower died. So can the lender go to the heirs? And we're referring to a case where there was no written document showing evidence of the loan. So here we have a person had obligated himself, so he has a debt, so to speak, and we see that the Beis HaMikdash is collecting from this vow taker. Now, nothing was written down, and yet the heirs have to pay. The Gemara says, no, we can't conclude a general rule of Milval Peh Goivim Min Hayorshim from this case. From the Erechin case, Shaini Hocha, the case of the Erki Olai is different. The Milva Haksuva Batori, it has an added strength to it. It's a type of obligation, a debt, so to speak, a financial obligation that's recorded in the Torah. That gives it more strength, and hence, under those circumstances, even though it's not written, the heirs have to pay. Well, that having been said, Shamas Mino, can we conclude the following, that milve haksuva b'tur kiksuva b'shtar damya, that obligations recorded in the Torah are equal to obligations that are recorded in a document? And we know that obligations that are recorded in a document, is certainly able to collect from heirs. So the Gemara says, no, we can't conclude that here either. Hocha b'may askinon, kishe'omad bedin. The case here that our source records that the heirs have to pay, the erech, is because the vower had been subjected to a court decision obligating him to pay before he died. Standing in court gives it added strength. The Gemara asks, well, the kavosa gabi domi olai, she'omad bedin, if then you're going to parallel this to the case of domi olai, which was featured in the source as well, so you'll have to say the same thing, that he stood up in law, in the court of law, and they obligated him to pay. So then, amai lo yitnu hayorshim, if the vower died having said domi olai, he died after he was omad bedin, so why don't the heirs have to pay that? So the Gemara answers, domi olai mechuser umdino. It's true that the court obligated him to pay, but they didn't actually formally evaluate him. He wasn't evaluated yet, and domi is a market value vow. And since he didn't experience the umdino, the formal evaluation, so we don't know how much he would have to pay, and therefore no payment is drawn from the yorshim. Erki Olai, however, in the case of Erki Olai, and he died, lo mechuser v'lo klum, he's not missing anything. So the fact that he was obligated by a court of law to pay his vow, the Erech vow, and he then dies, So heirs can be collected from. However, to conclude any of the suggested conclusions above, namely a straight out milval peh or a simple milval ksuva b'torah, that they can collect from heirs, that far we're not going in this Gemara. And rather, we're setting up our Tanaic source above as having of the as a person having the vower having been obligated by a court of law. That court of law obligation, that's tantamount to a milva b'shtar, to a written legal obligation, and hence that can be collected from heirs. Erech yodi viragli olai lo omar klum. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that we want to note in the outside margin under the heading Nosei Mivneh. The crown shape you see in the Gemara represents a Tzrichusa L'Shnei Meimros Shel Rav Gittel. Rav Gittel will be teaching us two points of law, and we'll need both of these comments. And he says, "T'chayav loseis domim afapishen mashmos l'mashin nodar," where a person will be obligated to pay even though the basic words, the vow that he said, doesn't have any meaning. Number one, erech yodi olai. A person said he wants to give the erech of his arm. Now that has no meaning in and of itself, and yet we find that a person will be obligated to pay. But we have to wait to see how that works out in the Gemara. After all, when we learned our Mishnah, we saw that that doesn't obligate him whatsoever. A second example will be erech kli ze olai. Person vows to give the erech of a vessel, and as we know, vessels don't have an erech. And yet, we'll see Rav Gittel saying that he has to pay. And we'll want to know, based on what is that? The Gemara. Erech yodi v'ragli olai, lo omar klum, omar Rav Gittel, omar Rav. Notice Rav Gittel in the crown form. He quotes Rav as saying, v'noisein domeha. If a person said, erech yodi, so he has to give the market value of the arm or leg. The Gemara asks, "V'ha lo omar klum kotani?" But in our Mishnah, we had regarding that very case, it says "lo omar klum." And if you want to see where that was found in the Mishnah, so we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align that with the star above, and you see where the Mishnah had said that. So the Gemara answers, "Lo omar klum lo rabbanan." That's true according to the Tanaic opinion of the Rabbanan, that a person will say something for nothing. In other words, Odom Motsi Devorov Levatola. However, the ruling of Rav Gittel Omarav, the Nosein Domeho, that he has to pay the market value, even though he said Erech value, that he has to pay, that's Le Rebbe Meir, according to the opinion of Rebbe Meir. The Gemara asks, and we should point out that Rebbe Meir holds Ein Odom Motzi Dvarov Levatol, that when a person speaks and says something that seems to have no meaning, he must have intended something else that has meaning. And therefore, if he said Erech Yodi, he must have intended Domi, the market value. And an arm has a market value. The Gemara asks, Ha Omra Chado Zimna. But Rav Gittel has already said this halacha on another occasion, and the question will be, why do I need the repetition? The Omer of Gittel Amarav, Ha Omer Erech Kli Ze Olai Noisein Domov. If a person dedicates the Erech of a vessel, so and we know that there is no Erech for vessels, Erech is only for human beings, yet Rav Gittel Amarav says he has to give the market value of that vessel to the Beis HaMikdash. So what do I need both of these halachas for? The Gemara answers, Mahu detema. Hasam hu, in the case of the vessel, Odom yodea she'en erech likli. A person knows that a vessel doesn't have an erech. The gomar v'yomar l'shem domim. In other words, if he said something like that, something that obviously has no meaning, so he must have had a different intention. He must have intended to say market value, or that was his intention. Aval hocha, in the case of the erech of a limb, like a erech yodi, mita kotoi, a person is in error. He can be mistaken. the Savar, he figures, ki hechi di'iko erech roishi ve'erech kvedi, just like these other kinds of limbs have an erech, and a person would be obligated, as we learned in the Mishnah, regarding erech of a head or erech of one's liver, which are vital organs. Iko nami erech yodi ve'erech ragli. A person could think that he becomes obligated to pay an erech of an arm, of a non, or a leg, a non-vital organ. Avodomi lo komar, but he has no intention whatsoever of paying a market value of those things. So that without having been told, the first halacha recorded here of Rav Gittel Amarav, that erech yodi, he would have to pay, according to Rabbi Meir, I wouldn't have known that. Komash malon, therefore the Rav Gittel tells me, the case of erech yodi, according to Rabbi Meir, he has to pay, based on the concept of ein odo motzi dvar of levaton. If a person speaks and says something that at face value has no meaning, he thereby does obligate himself to something else that would have had meaning. Erech roishi ve'erech kvedi noisein erech kuloi. If a person dedicates the erech of his head or liver, he has to give his own full erech Torah rate value. My taima, why is that? Answer, nefoshos ka'omar rachmona. The Torah mentions the word nefoshos, which essentially means one's life, in the context of erechin, and therefore a limb that's of vital necessity falls under this nefoshos category. Zeh haklal, dover shanashama tluya bo, v'chulei. The Mishnah used the expression zeh haklal, which we saw in a house form above in the Mishnah. When you see an expression like that zeh haklal, something else is usually being included. So la'asuye, this comes to include min ho'arkuva ulamalo, not just the vital organs like a head and liver, but also from the leg above the knee. In other words, a person whose leg is cut off above the knee, it is basically life threatening. It's considered an aver shanashama tuluya bo. So if a person said erke erech ragli min arkuva lamalo, he would be obligated to pay his entire Torah erech. Chatzi erki olai no sein v'chulei. Tanu rabbanan. Here we have a Tanaic source that elaborates on that which we learned in the Mishnah. Chatzi erki olai. If a person says he wants to give half of his Torah rate, nosein chatzi erko. So he pays, like we saw in the Mishnah, half of whatever his Torah rate is. Rabbi Yossi Rebuda Omer, loike v'nosein erech shalem. The word loike usually means gets lashes. So we would translate this as get lashes, and he has to pay his full erech rate, even though he said chatzi erki olai. The Gemara asks, loike amai, why is there lashing? Omrav Papa, loike be'erech sholem. He gets hit with the full bill. As we say, you know, hit me with the bill. Or he got hit with a lot of expenses. So the word hit, loike, is an appropriate word when it comes to some type of financial obligation. Well, we want to know, according to Rabbi Yossi Behuda, after all he said was chatzi erki, why does he have to pay the full erech? My time, oh. Why? Answer, gzeiro chatzi erki otu erech chetzio. The erech chetzio havi dover shanashama tluya bo. These two expressions are very close, with very different meanings. However, in the case of chatzi erki, we're afraid that if we would allow him to pay half of his Torah rate, which is what he said, he would pay half also in the case where he says erech chetzio. However, the problem is, in the case of saying erech chetzio, the erech of half of him is a vital organ. That's half of a body, half of a person's body. That's, he can't live with half a body. So that case of erech chetzio, by letter of the law, is mechayev him to pay the full erech. So as not to run into any confusions, we say even in the case where he says chatzi erki, pay the full value, in anticipation of a case of a person saying erech chetzio, where there he is obligated by letter of the law to pay his full value based on the concept of dover shanashama teluyo boi. Chatzi domi olai, noisein chatzi domov. Demei chetzi olai noisein demei kulo. And we saw this in the Mishnah. If he says half of his market value, gives half of his market value. If he says half, the value of half of me, there he has to pay his full value. My taimo neder be'erkecha nefashos ksiv. In this pasuk, we compare the rules of neder to the rules of erechin, and we know in erechin, the rule states that Aver Shanashama Tluya Bo, a vital organ, is tantamount to the whole person. So too, here, if he says he wants to give the value of half of himself is an Aver Shanashama Tluya Bo, therefore he has to pay his full market value. Again, by virtue of the fact that the rules domim of nidorim are compared to the rules of erechin. Ze haklal davar shanashama tluya bo. We again saw this expression a second time in the Mishnah on the heels of a person who said demei chatzi olai. What does this include? Lasuye min ho'arkuva ulamala. Like we saw before, here is a case of a person who gave the market value of his leg. That including the area from above his knee, it was his leg, including his thigh. Tanu Rabbanan. We're going to be reading this according to the girsa that one finds in the Tosfos and also in the Shita Mekubetzes Ois Yud. So the slight change in reading. Hamarich Erech Chatzi Kli. A person says he wants to give the Erech of half a vessel. Rabbi Meir Omer no Sein Domov. Rabbi Meir says he has to pay the market value, even though he spoke about an erech of a vessel. And Chacham Omer lo Amar Klum. The Chacham say he doesn't pay anything. There is no erech associated with vessels. Rava Cholash. Rava took ill. Ul legabe Abai v'Rabbanan. The Abaye and the other rabbis came to visit the ailing Rava. V'yasvi v'ko'amri. And they sat there and said as follows. Regarding the source that we just saw, Bishlamo, Rabbi Meir, I understand Rabbi Meir who says he has to pay the market value. Kosover ein odo moitzi dvoro v'levatola. A person doesn't say something for nothing. Lo shno kulo v'lo shno chetzio. No difference being paid to whether he said half, he said all, or half. Once a person says something that on face value has no meaning, it automatically gets translated into something that does have meaning. And as a result of that, the fact that he spoke about the erech of half a vessel really is of no bearing with regard to Rabbi Meir. Once he obligates himself to give something related to a kli, so he has to pay the value of the kli to the Beis HaMikdash, the market value. And the Rabbonan my kosavri, according to the Rabbonan, what's their opinion? E odom moitzi dvarav levatola, if a person says something for nothing and thereby doesn't obligate himself into anything, afilu kulo nami, even if he had spoken about the erech of an entire vessel, he would not be obligated. We could say lo omar klum regarding that as well. The e ein odom moitzi dvarav levatola. And if it's the case that the Rabbanan hold that a person doesn't say something for nothing, afilu chetzionami, then he should pay even half. Why does it say in the source that he pays nothing? Omer lehu Abaye v'Rava. So they answered the question. Rabbanan dehocha. The Rabbanan reflected in this source that we saw three lines above. Kerebi Meir savri lo v'savri lo kerebi Shimon. They're we'll call it a hybrid opinion. They hold in principle like Rabbi Meir, but also hold like Rabbi Shimon. What does that mean? Savri lo k'Rabbi Meir de'omar ein odom motzi dvarov levatola. They agree that a person doesn't say something for nothing, and that if a person said something that has no meaning, so then we automatically translate it into something that would have meaning. And therefore, if the person had left out the chatzi business over here by the vessel, he would have just was marich the erech of a vessel. And we know that a vessel has no erech. And we hold ein odo motzi dvoro v'vatola. Therefore, he'll have to pay the market value of a vessel. Why then over here, when he said chatzi kli, does it come out of having said not obligated at all? Because v'savri lo k'Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbanan here also hold like Rabbi Shimon, the Omar shelo hisnadev k'derech hamisnadvin. Rabbi Shimon has a rule found elsewhere. For example, and this is the case that Rashi cites, in the case of a meal offering vow. Meal offerings come from wheat, not from barley. If a person said that he wants to bring a meal offering, hareolai mincha min hasorim, he wants to bring a mincha from barley, so it doesn't take hold because of this concept of lo hisnadev kederecha misnadvin. He didn't make a nedava as is normal. Now, how does that figure over here? Kule urche lisnaduve. It's common for people to dedicate the value of an entire vessel. Palge lav urche liis neduvi. It's not normal for people to dedicate the value of half a vessel. After all, it might be argued that half a vessel really has no value. So, since he made a neder or a nedova in an unusual way, in a way that people would not make such vows, so it doesn't take hold. Ha'omer erkoi shoploni olai umeis hanoder v'hanidar yitnu yorshim. If a person donated the erech of so-and-so, and the vower and the subject died, the heirs are obligated to pay. My nihu, she'omad bedin, aren't you going to have to say that the noder stood up in a court of law, and that's what enabled the Beis Hamikdash to collect from the heirs? So, hainu hach, well, isn't that the same as that which we already learned? If we look in Rashi, toward the end, mainu shomad bedin klomar, masnisin dekotoni yitnu yorshim, our Mishnah that says that the yorshim have to pay, hechi misukmo, how did we set it up? Bal korchach, we had to set it up, kishomad bedin koidem moisoi, kidu ukmo la reisha, as was taught in the reisha, as we set up the reisha already. And we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which points above to the line in which we established that, where we spoke about a person that said, Erki Olai, and he died, the Yorshim have to pay. So isn't this then a repetition of that idea? Here, the only difference is here he said, Erko Shoploni, but they're both known amounts, and just like we said above, in order for the Yorshim to be obligated to pay, there had to be an hamoda bedin, so too over here. So what do I gain by repeating this case, by saying another case that seems to be just a repetition? That's hainu hach. The Gemara answers, seifa itzderichlei, the latter point had value to us, had meaning, has a chiddush. Domov shoploni olai umeis hanoder yitnu hayorshim. Here's a different case. Here's a person dedicated the market value of so-and-so, and the vower died. So we say that the heirs of the one who took the vow have to pay. At the top of Omid Beis, Mahu Detema, one might have thought that even though there was an Omad Bedin, Kevon Delo Omduhu, Lo ishtabud, since the evaluation of the subject didn't take place in the lifetime of the vower, therefore lo ishtabud nichsi, the vower's property doesn't become bound to the debt, and hence the heirs wouldn't be obligated. Komash malon kevon di omad bedin, we're taught from this extra case, the case of that we featured in the Seifa, since the vower was Omad Bedin, the fact that he was stood up in the court for a court ruling that he has to pay, Ishtabude Ishtabud Nichsi, his property, the vow taker's property, becomes bound. The Umdana, the fact that there's a needed evaluation of the subject afterwards, that doesn't make a difference. Gilui milso bi'amahu. It's simple. A simple revelation of how much had been obligated to pay. It was megala how much had been obligated to pay, but the evaluation of the subject is not a binding factor in this case, and therefore, once there was the vow taker had said demei ploni olai, and he had been omad bedin, the court, he stood up for a court ruling, the property becomes obligated, and hence the heirs will have to pay from the inheritance to fill this debt. The Mishnah: Shor ze oila ubayis ze korban. If a person said that this ox shall be an ola, or that this house is a korban, means a dedication to the temple repair fund. Meis hashor v'nofal abayis. If the ox died or the house fell down before the gizbor took possession, poter milashalim, there is no further debt. Shor ze olai oila, bayis ze olai korban. You notice a slight different expression here. The word olai is added. Meis hashor v'nofal abayis, chayov l'shalim. If the animal dies or the house falls, then that nevertheless the vow taker is still obligated to pay. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading in the outside margin. We call this dinoi shel rav, rav's law. Hodikotoni chayov l'shalem, that which the Mishnah says he's obligated to pay. Klomar the chayov ba'achrayis, that he's obligated, he has a responsibility, he has a guarantee, he obligates himself with a guarantee to pay. Hainu im omar demei shor ze olai oila. That's only if he says it like that. Demei shor ze olai oila. Avol im omar rak shor ze olai oila. Eino chayov. If he just says this ox is upon me to pay, that would not obligate him. He'd have to say the value of this ox is upon me. When we speak about this, of course, we mean taking the value of that ox, and then with that money you would buy a korban ola. The Gemara, Omar Rav Chiya bar Rav, loy shanu ela, the teaching of the Mishnah that stated that if he says olai, he is obligated, even if the animal dies or the house falls in, it's true only ela de Omar demei shor ze olai ola. He accepts upon himself the value of that particular ox to bring it and use the money for an ola. Avol omar shor ze olai ola. If he would have spoken that way, kevon diomar ze, since his vow was specific to the animal itself, im meis eino chayav bachriyuso. If it dies, he is not obligated to make good on it. He hasn't built in a guarantee. And the word olai, what is the value of the word olai? Olai lohavio komar. Simply, it's upon me to bother bringing the animal. So, in effect, he's obligated himself only to bring this specific animal. Therefore, if it dies, he's not obligated. Only if he says, demei shor ze olai, the value of this animal is upon me, so value he'll be obligated even if the animal itself dies. The Gemara asks, you'll notice we have a triangle that appears, and the triangles as you go down the page appear in a alternating direction. In the outside margin we have a mivne, a structural note, with the triangle point facing up, and we call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. Meisvei shor ze ola. This is a question, as our markings indicate. A person says shor ze ola, hashor hekdish umolin bo. The shor is sanctified, and anyone who benefits personally from it is in a violation of mi'ila, the violation, the prohibition of benefiting from sanctified items. Meis oy nignav eino chayav bachri. So if the animal dies or is stolen, so there is no obligation to make good on it. Shor ze olai oila. Now here we have to focus on the loshon. He said shor ze olai oila. Hashor hektish umolin bo. The animal is sanctified and there is mi'ila. Meis oy nignav, if the animal dies or is stolen, and notice chayov bachriyuso. So here we dashed underline chayov bachriyuso to draw your attention to the fact this Tanaic source suggests a ruling different, and hence a challenge to what Rav said when he said above. Also dashed underline, you can see eino chayov bachriyuso. Well, so the Gemara says, listen, this question that you're asking on Rav is from this brisa, The Gemara responds and says, "Mi alimo mi masnisin." Is this brisa any stronger than the Mishnah? The ukimna, we set up the Mishnah. Rav has set up the Mishnah already by saying that obligation is achieved when you add the word domi, the value of the ka'amar domi. So that's how Rav interpreted the Mishnah hachinami, the same way the ka'amar domi. Here too in the brisa, he said demei shor ze olaya ola. He added domi, and that's why there is an obligation. The Gemara asks, v'hami de seifa ka'amar domi resha de lo ka'amar domi. The fact is that in the seifa of this source, notice we've circled the word seifa as well as the word ratio that we had written in earlier. The issue of domi appears in the seifa. So the issue is dealt with in the latter part of this source, leaving us to understand that the earlier part did not have domi, and yet we saw chayav bachri yuso, thereby reinstating the question on Rav. The Kotoni seifa, it says in the seifa, demei shor ola. Hashor chulin v'ein moel in bo. If a person says the value of this shor is to be used to purchase an ola, so the animal itself remains common, mundane, and there's no me'ila prohibition in benefiting from it, because all you obligated yourself to was the value of the animal. Mace oy nignav eino chayav bachriyuso. If the animal dies or is stolen, so there's no chiyuv achrayas. There's no obligation, no guarantee that he has to fulfill. Avo chayav baachrayus domov. Now that means if the shor is, let us say, the animal was sold and the money thereby became holy, because he said he was going to give the value of the animal. If he sold the animal, got money for it, that money thereby becomes kadosh, and if it got lost, so then that's what this source says. Avochai v'achri is domov. If he achieved money for it, then he is obligated. What do we see from here? We see that the issue of domi is dealt with in the seifa. The Gemara answers, Reisha v'seifa deka'omar domi. Both the Reisha and seifa have domi in his expression, and hence it conforms to Rav's halacha. Reisha deomar yaktish hashor l'domov. The case of the Reisha is, he said, I am sanctifying the ox. The Rabbeinu Gershon, by the way, adds that the Lashon here is Yaktish Hashor Olai Ledomov, that the value of the ox is upon me. The Seifa, the Ka'amar, the Cheshiyavou Domov Yikdashu. The Seifa says that, in the Seifa, he says, Demei. You know, it's the Demei Shor Alai, Yikdashu, Lichshiyavo, that when the money comes, then it shall be sanctified. So let's go over the two cases. Actually, let's look at Rashi. Reisha de'omar Yikdash Hashor L'domov. There he said, I want the ox right now to be sanctified with regard to its value, and that is upon me. The value of the ox right now is upon me, the Hilkoch. Chayav Bachriyuso. Therefore, he is obligated to make good if anything happens. Sharechal Kedushas Domim al Hashor. The Kedusha, the sanctity of value, is set in. Vuhu Kibel Olov Achrayas Domov. And he accepted upon himself the guarantee to make good. Vahai Olai Achrayas Havi. The Olai there is not to bring it as a sacrifice, because he never dedicated the animal as a sacrifice. It's Olai means upon me to make good on it. That's a guarantee. Hoyol V'adomim Koi, since it's referring to the money. V'domim Lo Havu Kamei Delemo Halolu. There is no money right now in front of us that we should think that he's referring to a specific pile of money. So therefore, in the Reisha, where we saw Chayav Bachrayas, he had said Demei Shor Ze Olai Ola. Seifa, however, Rashi goes on, De Omar Lichashiavo Doma Viktashu. In the Seifa, when he spoke about the Demei Shor, he said Hilkoch Eino Chayav Bachriuso. He's not obligated if the animal dies before he sold the animal. They came with the Mes HaShor V'Lobol Chlal Domim, since the animal died before it was ever converted into money. He didn't sell it yet. Nimsa Shelo Hikdish Klum. It turns out he didn't dedicate anything. Therefore, he's not Chayev. Only after it's sold and the money comes around and he had obligated himself, then he has to make good on it. The Gemara now asks, how can you say in this regarding the Seifa that he made a dedication of, well, when the money comes around it shall be sanctified? A person can't sanctify that something that's not around yet. So how can we say in that Seifa source that, well, when the money comes around, he will be obligated to make good on it? In other words, it's binding. But when he took the vow, the money wasn't there. That's called Dover Shalom Boli Olam. Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Rav, Ha Money, Rabbi Meir, He. This is in accordance with Rabbi Meir, Diomar Odom Makdish Dovor Shelo Bali Olam, that a person can in fact obligate himself, can sanctify something that hasn't come about yet. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a Mivneh heading where we feature Roman numerals 1 and 2 and a bowtie form. These are Shnei Lishoinois, Lema Mityaches Rab Beomru Ho Moni Rabbi Meir Hi. Rav answers an issue by saying this is according to Rabbi Meir. So we'll have two versions in the Gemara as to what Rav was responding to. The first one we just saw. We'll also see immediately an Aleph and Beis appear in the Gemara to meet it right hand side of the Gemara text. These are Shnei Lishoinois Eich Lahatzig Es Rabbi Meir. Two versions of how to present Rabbi Meir. So we go on in the Gemara. Ika the Amri, Omar Le, Rav Papa La Abaye. Another version has it said as follows. Rav Papa says to Abaye, the Amri Lo, another version of names is Romi Barchamo Le Rav Chista. Keman, Kerebi Meir, are you saying that this source then, is it working, is it to be understood like Rabbi Meir? Diomar Odom Makdish Dovar Shelo Bali Olam, that a person can obligate himself, can sanctify something that hasn't yet arrived? Amar Lei. So he answers, Ve'olo Kaman. So then, like whom else? Of course it's like Rabbi Meir. Ve'iko demasni lo aho. There are those that teach Rav Yehuda, Abaye and Rami Bar Chama, this whole piece that we learned under Roman number 1, there are those that apply it to another case, another source. V'iko demasni lo aho, regarding the following. Hamaskir bayis l'chavero v'nisnaga. Person rented a house to his friend and it became afflicted with nigei botim, nigoyim, tzoras that affects houses. And we know that a house like that is mitame. So afal pi shecholtoi kohen, even though a kohen decided that it is a definitive case of tzoras, omer lo, the owner who's renting it to the tenant, the owner says hare shecholafanecha. Well, the house is here. I have no obligations to you. Nitsu. However, if the kohen says the house. They not only ruled that it is afflicted, but it reaches a point in time where it has to be smashed, destroyed, then chayav lahamid loy bias. Then the owner is obligated to replace a house for the tenant. Rashi, second line from the bottom, nitsu kohen, if the kohen smashed the house, as is required by law after a certain point, chayav mas lahamid bias acher lasocher, the owner has to provide another house for the tenant. The mishum mazli, the maskir, because of the owner who is suspect either of theft or of miserliness, which we've learned way back on the Tez Zion Amid Aleph, that because of theft or miserliness, people's properties, people's houses are subject to Negoyim. Now, Hikdisho Hadorbo Male Schar Lehekdish. Right now, the thought, the Havamina on this line is that the tenant was makdish the house. So, and it says here that he has to pay the fee, the rental fee to the Beis HaMikdash, because he sanctified it. This doesn't make too much sense though, and we have questions. We continue with questions and answers. Hikdisho Hadorbo, the tenant sanctified it. Hechi Motzi Makdish Lo, how can a person sanctify someone else's house? Ish ki yakdish beisoy kodesh amarachmona. The Torah says a person when he sanctifies his own house, ma beiso birshuso av kol birshuso, just like a house, the house is his own, so to anything that happens to be his own. In other words, a person can't sanctify things that are not his own. So rather, hachi ko'amar, hikdisho maskir, if the owner of the house dedicated it to the Beis HaMikdash, then hador bo male schar lehekdish, the tenant has to pay rent to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara asks, hikdisho maskir, what, the owner dedicated the house to the Beis HaMikdash, hechi dayer bei b'me'ilo koi, how can the tenant benefit from it? Once the house is dedicated, so then it becomes forbidden to benefit from, and there's an iser me'ila. V'su male schar lehekdish, the need to pay a rental to the Beis HaMikdash, that doesn't make sense either, according to the rules of Me'ila. Kevan de Mo'al Bey, once Me'ila is violated, Nofek Le Schar Lechulin, the entity that was sanctified becomes mundane, the Hekdash is off, and hence the Schar, the rental fee, wouldn't be destined to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara answers, what is the din here of pay to Hekdish? De Omar, the owner said, L'cheshiyavo scharo yikdash. What he said in his sanctification is he says, I'm sanctifying the house so that to the extent that when the schar comes, in other words, I'm not sanctifying the actual house, as Rashi says, he never sanctified the house. He sanctified the rent money that will come from the rental. The Gemara asks, well, but a person can't sanctify something that hasn't come about yet. He hasn't got the rental money yet. How can the sanctification take hold on that and thereby obligated to be paid to the Beis HaMikdash? Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So notice the markings here are the same as we saw before. He says this vow taking hold is Ha'moni Rabbi Meir. This is in accordance with Rabbi Meir, the Omar Odo Makdish Dover Shalom Bali Olam, that a person can sanctify something that hasn't come to be yet. Iko the Amri, another version. Omar Le Rav Popo La Abaye Vi Amri La Rav Mori Bar Chamo Le Rav Chista. Either Rav Popo addresses Abaye, Rav Mori addresses Rav Chista, and says, Keman, Rabbi Meir, is this in accordance with Rabbi Meir? This rental money becoming sanctified ahead of time, is this according to Rabbi Meir? Domer Odo Makdish Dober Shlo Bol Di Olam, that a person can sanctify things that haven't come to be yet? So he answers, V'yalo Geman, well, like whom else is it going to be? Of course, it's in accordance with Rabbi Meir. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.